We praise God.
Amen.
And we are joyful to be, I'm joyful to be in his presence and among his people. Hallelujah. And we thank, we, hallelujah, we praise God. And I am joyful to be in his presence and among his people. And we thank God for everyone who are here and their lives. And let's go to what we, what God was speaking to us. So we were on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I told you the intention of why Apostle Paul wrote the letter of the 1 Corinthians, especially the chapter number 12, 13, 14, where he talks about the gifts. He talks about ministries. He talks about different kinds of activities. And then we saw the scripture last Friday, all those who were there. And we saw in the scripture multiple times, more than 7-8 times in a passage of scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, he emphasizes that there are different gifts, there are diversities of the gifts, there are diversities of ministries that we do, there are diversities in the activities that we do in the body of Christ, but he emphasizes one and the same thing again and again, that it's the only, it's the one Spirit, it's one God, the one Lord who gives the different things to different people in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So that is where we realize that he is trying to differentiate between demonic giftings and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I told you the example. Imagine we are all the students in the class, and there is one teacher coming to us and teaching the subject what we are learning, let's say biology. And the one teacher comes every day, and today that teacher teaches us something and we complete that and we do our homework or whatever. And the next day the teacher checks upon on what we are doing, how much is our progress. And since there is one teacher, the teacher has the intention to lead us on a certain pathway and for us to be successful and to attain a certain destination that we are moving towards to pass our exam. But imagine that there is one subject and there are different teacher every day coming and teaching differently, teaching something else. The teacher that came today says, oh no, what you did yesterday, nullify that. I will teach you what needs to be done today. And then that person teaches something, and the next day someone else comes and teaches something. So those class of people who are being imparted by different teachers have no destiny, have no purpose. They are confused. So that is what we saw. When the gifts of God are ministered to a person, the gifts of God, like the gift of wisdom that we saw last time, the gift of wisdom, when it is ministered to a person, it has a direction from God. It makes the person discovers the purpose of God when that gift is ministered. Whereas the counterfeit of it in the demonic kingdom, when the demonic gift of wisdom is ministered to a person, the person has no direction, is left confused, and the gift is only ministered for the benefit to produce a desired result. All right, so we covered all those things the last meeting on Friday. And we covered the gift of wisdom. What is the gift of wisdom? Let me just recap it quickly, and then we will go on the gift of the word of knowledge. So open with me 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 4. There are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. To what? Not only to some people. It says to each one in the church. So each one in the church, the Holy Spirit has given gifts. The Lord has given gifts through His Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So again and again he emphasizes on the same Spirit, because when the same Spirit gives gifts to different people, he is giving people the gift so that he will be able to enable those people supernaturally to work towards the same purpose. So we studied last Friday the gift of wisdom. Okay, for those who are not there, let me do a quick recap of the gift of wisdom. What is the gift of wisdom? The gift of wisdom, the first simplest definition to the gift of wisdom, is providing God's solution for a physical problem. God's solution for a problem that no one can solve. When a person who has the gift of wisdom, he will say something and point out something that will be the mystery that is unveiled and becomes the solution to the problem. God's solution to a physical problem, the next definition I told you, is providing an answer to multiple questions. That is what God's wisdom do. I told you many times, so many people have so many questions written down before I go to minister. And while I'm ministering, I don't know, by the Spirit utterance, I say something. And the person after the meeting says, "Brother, I had so many questions on my diary that I wanted to ask you, but what you said answered all my questions, so I don't want to discuss anything with you." So the gift of wisdom ministers the word of wisdom that can answer multiple questions and clear out the confusion in the life of a person. The gift of wisdom is God's instruction, the wisdom of God, which is God's instruction to mankind. And then we saw the difference between the gift of wisdom in the demonic kingdom and the gift of wisdom in God's kingdom, how to differentiate between that. So I already covered that. There were three differentiations that I said, and I already covered that. Now let's tonight come to the gift of the word of knowledge. What is the gift of the word of knowledge? This is the gift of knowing the reality that is unknown to our human mind and intelligence. The gift of the word of knowledge is the knowing of realities which is unknown to our what? Human mind and intelligence. The knowing of realities that are unknown to our human mind and intelligence. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. When this gift is used in several areas and ministries and activities in God's kingdom, the gift of the word of knowledge. The gift of the word of knowledge is not only used when you minister to someone, the gift of the word of knowledge is used even when you are interceding for someone. Are we together? Even when you are interceding for an individual, or you are just praying in the spirit and something drops in your spirit man, and you know something that you actually don't know. You know something actually happening in a place where you never went to. It's the knowing of realities. Okay, Sister Pushpa asked me, what is the difference between the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge? This is the difference. The gift of wisdom is providing God's solution to a problem, or providing an answer to multiple questions. Whereas the gift of the word of knowledge is the knowing of reality which is unknown to your human mind and intelligence. Only the Holy Spirit can give you the ability to have that kind of knowledge. It's the knowing of reality that you actually don't know in your human mind, that you actually cannot know because you are not even there. You are far away in another country. But when you pray, you get the knowing of something that is happening in a far country. And with that ability, you are able to pray towards it. The gift of the word of knowledge can be, there are several ways. People of God, our ears, can we shout an amen even as we begin this meeting? Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, the gift of the word of knowledge. Now, the Holy Spirit has different and several ways through which it releases or it brings forth the manifestation of gifts in the lives of people. The Holy Spirit has different ways. The Holy Spirit has different mediums through which it manifests the gifts to the life of a person. Through visions, through dreams. Those are not gifts. Those are mediums. Visions, dreams, those things are not mentioned in the gifts. Those are, you can say, the way, the medium through which the gift is transacted by the Spirit of God to a human being. So the gift of the word of knowledge can be transacted by the Holy Spirit, can be released by the Holy Spirit. The word of something that you don't know can be released by a vision. You see something when you are praying. Or it can be released through a dream, like what I was praying at the beginning of the meeting about a person. I don't know, but I saw the person. How? It was the gift of word of knowledge. Came to me through a dream. It can come through to you through the witness of the Holy Spirit. Not a vision, not a dream, but a voice in your spirit will speak to you. This is what it is. This is what is happening. This is what is happening to the person. Or this is the situation the person is in. So that is the gift of the word of knowledge. It's what? This is the gift of knowing the reality that is unknown to our human mind and intelligence. That is the gift of the word of knowledge. You can be praying in your bedroom. And because you have a burden to intercede for your country, for other countries, you are praying for the government. Suddenly, by the witness of the Holy Spirit in your spirit man, you understand that there will be a plane crash that will happen in one of the European countries. You get a witness. That is what is happening to you. The gift of the word. You are operating in the gift of the word of knowledge. You are coming to know something that is going to happen or that is happening far away from you. You come to the knowledge of that thing that you don't even know, where you are not even available. All right, I told you that Jesus operated in all this gift. So I want to take you to the scripture where Jesus operated in the gift of the word of knowledge. Few scriptures. There are so many examples in the Bible, but I pick some of them to make the gifts clear and understood. John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. Verse number 64. John chapter number 6. Verse number 64. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew. Underline Jesus knew. For Jesus knew from the what? Beginning. Who they were who did not believe. And who would betray him? It says, Jesus knew. How did he knew? Did someone come and told Jesus, you know what, those three people are not believing? No, no one came and told. It was not through gossip that Jesus knew. Or not did he see anything, you know, physically that he knew that who did not believe. He knew his congregation. He knew those who did not believe. When he would preach, God will give him, the gifts will operate, the gifts of God will operate in and through Jesus, through which he knew those, he knew, when you function in that mighty gift of the word of knowledge to the fullest, it gives you the ability to know the congregation to which you are preaching. Otherwise, the congregation will fool you. Are we understanding that? It will give you the ability to know the people to you who you are preaching, not to expose them or to talk about it, but only for the benefit so that you can minister efficiently. It will give you the, I know, I know, because by the grace, only by the grace and the privilege of God, the churches, I used to go and minister And then I would give the word, and people behaved, some of them very, very good, very nicely. And then when I come back home and when I'm praying, sometimes when I just wake up from my sleep, and sometimes when I'm just praying, I started to hear the conversations that they will make in their houses about me. I started to hear the conversations, what they will do. And when I started to hear what they speak about me, I understood that God is exposing them to me so that I can know what kind of people the Lord has given me to minister to, and what kind of ideologies, what kind of thoughts, what kind of heart they carry. Are we understanding? Jesus knew, the Bible says, those who did not believe. And Jesus even knew the person who would betray. How could that happen? By the gift of the word of knowledge. Are we understanding?
Amen. Hallelujah.
The knowing. When you know, so when they speak, and then when I go to minister to such places, on the basis of what I know about those people, I will prepare myself, not to preach. To preach, I will only preach what God says to me, but to orchestrate my behavior and to orchestrate the things, the way I have to react to them, I will always prepare. I am telling you, before a person would orchestrate something, God would show me every week through a dream what the person is doing, what the person is doing. There was a pastor I used to minister, and I was ministering for his church, and I felt, but I ignored. I don't speculate on people that person is thinking. I don't speculate. But when I started to get bombarded with these dreams about him, exactly, most of it, two times a week, of what he's doing, what he wants, he will never speak those things before me, but what he was doing in secret, God will allow it to be revealed. The knowing of so in this context, God through the gift of the word of knowledge, Jesus knew what kind of people. Jesus knew, he knew Peter was overconfident. He knew Peter what kind of person he was. Remember Jesus, when Nathanael was brought to Jesus, Jesus said, there is no fault in you. And he said, teacher, how do you know me? He said, I knew you when you were under the fig tree. I saw you. So even before Nathanael came to Jesus, Jesus knew what kind of a person he was. He was a good spiritual Jew. And even before he came, Jesus knew that what he was doing, he was under a fig tree. He had the knowing of the person that would come to him. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? The gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of knowledge has saved me from calamities. I'm telling you, God will show me beforehand. I could hear the words of people. I could hear what they are planning. So I would, even as I know what they are doing, I would plan in with God after knowing the reality of what is happening. Hallelujah. The gift of the word of knowledge. Another word I want to give you. John chapter number 10. John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. Verse number 10 and 11. John chapter number 13. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew, again, this is the gospel of John. What he knew, that is the gift of the knowing, the word of knowledge. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. He knew what you, now that is what I like. That is how, see, you need to have the maturity to operate in that gift. Only then God will enhance the gift in you. I like what Jesus, he knew what Judas was doing, and he knew what Judas was going to do, betray Jesus to the Jewish people, to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the high priest. So he knew that Jude, from the beginning Judas was will do, but he never ill-treated Judas. He never, you know what, Judas, yesterday God showed me what you are going to do. You are a wicked man. He never went and told Judas what he is going to do, that he knows it. So, hallelujah. So,
hallelujah.
You need to have maturity. I know that I know things about people, but I will never tell them what I know about them. I will never tell them. I will keep the things in my heart, what I saw. Some things for the benefit, God will tell some things. Okay, you tell them because they need to know, and you pray for them so that they will be delivered. But some things God will not. So you need to have the maturity to handle the gifts of God. You need to have that maturity, the maturity, that character to handle the gifts of God. If you are childish, you know, childish behavior, very immature, you cannot operate in that gift of word of knowledge. Because if God showed you something about a person, you will call him, you know what, God showed me that you are doing this. I have that gift, so I know what you are doing. And you will start to criticize and point out that person. So Jesus has had the maturity. He never told Judas. He never told. Only time he revealed that he knew, when he came and kissed Jesus. Judas came and kissed him, and he said, my friend, will you, you are betraying me with a kiss. So that is how he reacted to the knowing of someone doing something with him. So that is how. So believers, this gift has to be, I believe this gift has to be with believers, especially. I believe it has to be with believers. I mean, the knowing of people, what they are doing, can be with me, like a person, what for the work, the kind of work that is given to me, so that I can do ministry efficiently. But for believers who are praying and interceding, even they need to have a aspect or a dimension operating in the gift of word of knowledge. Because when you pray, you need to know things in the spirit. The knowing ability should be in believers. What is happening when you pray for a person? It will benefit you. What is happening? You can pray exactly what is needed. Otherwise, we will only pray from our mind. But the supernatural ability of knowing can only be given by the Holy Spirit. Okay, another example from the Old Testament. Another example from the Old Testament in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 6 and verse number 8 to 12. The book of 2 Kings, chapter number 6 and verse number 8 to 12. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Mm-hmm. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to him, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He was frustrated because someone knew the information, what he was planning. And he said, who is passing the information, what we are planning? Verse number 12. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.
Hallelujah.
That is the gift of the word of knowledge. That you are not there, but you know what they are speaking. You are not there, but you know what the enemy is planning. You know the knowing. It's not prophecy. It's the gift of word of knowledge. You know what the enemy is planning against you, or what the enemy is planning against the church. You know it by the gift of the word of knowledge. I told you many times my testimony that 2022 I had a car accident, but it was not a major one. It was not a major one because it was negated by the help of God, by the help of the gifts of God. And from 2021, from the month of October till the month of January 2022, I had multiple dreams where God showed me parts of what was going to happen on that very day. In around January end 2022, God showed started to showed me pa show me parts, show me parts. In the first dream, I saw that I saw an accident. In the second dream that came in December, I saw a bridge, and in front of the bridge there was an intersection of four ways. There was an intersection of four ways where I just crossed the bridge. The bridge finished while I was heading towards the intersection. The car that I was driving, I was in the car, and the car that I was driving completely crashed. But I came out of the car in the second dream. N nothing happened. I came, but I saw the car maybe completely damaged, completely crumbled from the front and completely crumbled like this. That was the second dream. In the third dream, the Lord showed me another part. I saw that I was moving around in a basement, and there was my car parked in that basement. And then I saw in that basement my car was damaged. And when I started to inspect, there was damages on the bumpers, the front bumpers, the side of the front bumper, scratches. I said, how did that happen? And then when I moved around to the left side, on the back passenger door of the left side, I saw a dent, and the dent was in the shape of a dove. I said, what is this? I got up from the dream. I wrote my dream on the diary. All these dreams I wrote in the diary. And on that very day, I was going to buy a Bible. I was moving towards a place to I said I want I to buy a Bible. I was joyful in the Lord, and then my car met with an accident where a big truck kind of a vehicle I was going, and a truck kind of a vehicle came in front of me. So my car touched that vehicle, I mean crashed to that vehicle. But what happened is my car was going like this, and only the left bumper of my car, the headlight crashed and the headlight broke and the bumper came out, the left side. So I parked and I saw it. And then I came back home in the afternoon, and I put my car to repair shop. So I came back home. I said, let me sleep. I went to sleep and got up in the evening, and I said, Lord, what was it? Was it by chance, just like an accident, or was it any meaning? And when I started to pray, God started to show me the dreams, and God started to connect all the dreams that I saw about what is going to happen. All the dreams that I saw. One of the dreams that I saw was the bridge and the intersection, and then I realized that was the same place where the accident happened. There was a bridge in front. There was a four-way intersection. There was a traffic police standing. The same place. That is one of the second dream that I saw, that there was a dent on the passenger door, left passenger door of a dove. So God said your car would have gone straight into the trailer, but the Holy Spirit came. So this is the car. So if someone pushes the car like this, the car will move like this. So the impact was not from the front. The impact was only on the side, because the Holy Spirit came and pushed the car, because of which I saw the dent on the left passenger door of the car.
Hallelujah.
All these things are word of knowledge. The knowing of a reality that I cannot know. The word of knowledge. Do we understand that? How many of you need the gift of the word of knowledge? How many of you?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The gift of the word of knowledge. I cannot know this thing. Only the Holy Spirit has the ability. So that is what happened in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 6, verse number 8 to 12. Elisha knew what the enemy was planning for Israel. We need intercessors who will know what the devil is planning against the church. We need people in the group. We need people in the church, intercessors in the church, who would call up the pastor and say, "Pastor, this is what I saw the devil planning against the church. Keep that in prayer." We need such people. Hallelujah. But scarcely any believer desires. We need to desire spiritual gifts. You might say, "Oh, no, I am not an apostle, I am not prophet, I am a believer, I don't." You need the gifts. You need the gifts to function efficiently in the body of Christ. Elisha knew that before what they were planning in the bedroom. So before they would make the attack on Israel, Elisha will tell the king, "Oh, the enemy, the king of Syria is planning an attack there. So be careful, don't go to that place." So believers need to have the gift so that the church can be safeguarded. Okay, hallelujah.
Yeah, man of God. Hmm? Elisha, sorry.
Elisha. Yes, Elisha was alarming the king of Israel. The next scripture that I want to give you is 2 Kings, again about Elisha. 2 Kings, chapter, the same chapter, chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6, verse number 31 and 32. "Then he said, 'God, do so to me and more also, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today.' But Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him." Now, this is the story of when there was a famine in Samaria. And the king was frustrated. Why Elisha, the prophet, is not doing anything? So he sent someone to Elisha's house. Okay, that is what it says. That he said, "God, do so to me and more also, if the head of Elisha." He wanted to kill Elisha. Verse number 32 says, "But Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. And the king sent a man ahead of him. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, 'Do you see how this son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him?' And while he was still talking with them, there was the messenger coming down to him. And then the king said, 'Surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?'" Okay, so the king planned to send a messenger before he could go to kill Elisha. And before they were coming, they were on the way, Elisha was sitting with the elders in his house. Hallelujah. What they were doing sitting in the house? Sitting with the elders, sitting in his house. That is what the leaders of the church have to do. That is what the leaders of the church have to do. The leaders of the church, they have to fellowship together in prayer. What the people, 120 people, were doing in the upper room, they were praying together in the upper room. The leaders of the church are not coming together to pray together, because of which the church is under attack, because of which the church is taken over by the enemy. When there is a calamity in Samaria, now this is what you have to observe. Elisha, people like Elijah, they are not daily prophets. They are not weekly prophets or monthly prophets, like giving daily prophecies. Like the election is going on in America, or today this will happen to the president, this will happen to the ex-president. This is daily prophecies. They are not interested in daily prophecies. When there was a calamity going on until God would not tell him to release a prophecy for the nation, he was sitting there quietly in his house, praying with the elders. That is what he was doing, watching with the elders until God gives. See, let me tell you one thing. Prophets are mostly silent. They don't speak always. If you see a person who is saying, "I am a prophet," and he always prophesies every day, there is a prophecy he has to give, I am telling you, he is not a prophet. He is a sorcerer. Do we understand that? Look and, you know, how can you say that? Study your Bible, brothers. Study your Bible. And study the life of Elisha. Study the life of Elijah. Study the life of Jesus. They did not commented on every social issue. They did not commented and gave their prophecy on every political issue. They did not thought it necessary that every time there is the election held, I have to give a prophecy about the election. Every time there is a football match happening, the World Cup happening, I have to give a prophecy about who will win. Every time there is an election, I have to give a prophecy about the insight about who will win, what will happen. They did not thought it necessary to cater to those aspects of the world and the platforms of the world. They would mostly keep silent, and only when God gives them utterance, only then they will speak. Okay, now what I want to show you is the gift of the word of knowledge. Again, Elisha. Now, if you want to study the gift of wisdom, gift of the word of knowledge, study the life of Elisha. Because when I was teaching on the gift of wisdom, I showed you many incidents where Elisha used the gift of word of wisdom. So Elisha was mightily gifted. The anointing of God brings gifts to men. Because Elijah was anointed double of what Elijah carried. He had gifts, mighty gifts in which he operated. The anointing of God brings the gifts to men. Any which ways, it says that the king wanted to behead Elisha. And what was Elisha doing? Sitting in his house with the elders. And before the messenger came and the king was behind him, Elisha knew that the son of the murderer is coming. He said, the son of the murderer is coming, and the feet of his master is behind him. And even as he was talking, for your information, at that time, there was not a CCTV camera through which Elisha looked. Okay, they are coming. No. It was not through a CCTV camera. It was through the gift of the word of knowledge. The CCTV camera footage can be limited, but when God shows you his footage through the gift of the word of knowledge, it will be clear enough for you to know things and to know what the devil is going to do against you and what the devil is going to do against the church, against the body of Christ. The gift of the word of knowledge. Hallelujah. How many of you are understanding what is the gift of the word of knowledge? Okay, this is the gift of the word of knowledge. Let me reiterate, this is the gift of knowing the reality that is unknown to our human mind and intelligence, which is unknown to our human mind and intelligence. Are we together? Okay, these are few of the examples that I picked up so that the gift of the knowledge can be explained well and people can understand. There are many examples in the Bible. Now, even when you have understanding about what kind of gift, when you read the Bible, you will know those gifts when you come across scriptures. So I will only use those examples. And let me now come to the difference. What difference? The difference between the word of knowledge gift in the demonic kingdom and the word of knowledge gift in God's kingdom. Now, you might have seen that even sorcerers would operate in the similar gift. Even sorcerers can tell people, okay, I saw you. Yeah, I saw you. You were wearing red. I know what car you drive. I know which kind of clock, which company watch you wear, and all those things on Monday, what happened to you. Sorcerers can know things about people. Do you know that? The gift of the word of knowledge, and believers don't understand how to execute discernment, to discern between the word of knowledge. Is it from the devil, or is it the word of knowledge given to them? Is it from the devil, or is it from God? How to discern that? How to discern that? I will give you two differentiations through which you can discern that. The first one is the demonic gift of the word of knowledge can only bring the reality of physical realities and physical situations and is limited, but the ability of tapping into knowing all can only be given by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Stay with me. A person who is operating through a demonic gift of the word of knowledge can only, if a person is only telling you, okay, this is What is this name? This is the name of your husband. Okay, this is the name. Those are physical realities. If the person tells you, oh, I saw you, yesterday you were driving this car, you are wearing that cap, that watch. These are physical realities that the person is talking about. You have to evaluate. Okay, you are telling me that I was driving my Toyota red car yesterday. Okay, I was driving it, but what benefit is that? Why you are telling me that? It's just a physical reality that he is revealing to you. Do we understand that? And it's limited. There is no rhyme or reason why someone would come up and tell you are driving a car, Toyota car. And people are like, yes, man of God. Yes, Papa. Yes, Prophet. I was driving that. Yes, yes. Prophesy. Prophesy. I mean, hallelujah. Word of knowledge. That person is giving word of knowledge. But what is the use? You are driving a car. So what? What after that? You have a clock in your house. And you bought it from this store. Yes, man of God. Yes, prophesy. I have that clock right in my house. I bought it from that store. So what? So do we understand what I'm saying? How to differentiate? The demonic gift of the word of knowledge will only bring the physical realities and the physical situations which are limited and have no purpose. That is what they will bring to you. Okay? And after that, that's it. They will say that. Why they are saying that? They are saying that to grab your attention, that they know things about your life. That's it. There is no rhyme. I don't prophesy, you see, in that way. I don't operate in that. A man of God will not say things like, oh, you have a yellow iPhone, and then yesterday you went and bought a pink iPhone. There is nothing that, why I am saying those things, there is no purpose in that. God will reveal only those areas of a person's life to a person, when the Holy Spirit speaks to a person, where deliverance is needed, where the ministry of the Holy Spirit is needed, or where something needs to be connected to what God wants to speak to that person. Only those God will not say, oh, I know that you have an iPhone. I know what clock is there on your wall. I know which car you are driving. I mean, those are purposeless speakings. So how to discern? This is what the demonic gift will tell you. It will only tell you about the physical realities and the physical situation. The demonic gift of the word of knowledge, and it is limited. But God's gift of the word of knowledge is in knowing of the spiritual realities and the root cause of this of the problems you are in, because of which you are not able to move closer to God. Hallelujah. That is the first differentiation. Are we together? That is the first differentiation. Okay. The second differentiation, how to differentiate between the
Can you repeat it?
Okay, I will repeat the first differentiation. The demonic gift of the word of knowledge can only bring the reality of the physical realities and physical situation, and is limited and purposeless. But the ability of tapping into knowing all and the spiritual realities can only be given by the Holy Spirit. Okay? The gift of the word of knowledge. Okay, let me reiterate it again. What is the gift of the word of knowledge for those who stepped in now? The gift of the word of knowledge is the gift of knowing the reality that is unknown to our human mind and intelligence. That is the gift of the word of knowledge. Okay, we have covered a lot already. So let's go to the second differentiation. Second differentiation of how to evaluate between the gift that comes of the word of knowledge comes from the demonic kingdom and from God. The second differentiation is the demonic gift can only reveal what other people know and see. But God's gift exposes the spirit behind the veil and roots of what is happening by the gift of the word of knowledge. Okay, let me come again. The demonic gift can only reveal what other people see and know. Okay, for example, what the examples that I used, you are driving this car, you are watching that movie, even other people know, okay, you did this, other people can know and see and evaluate that. There is nothing new. But God's gift of the word of knowledge gives the ability of knowing things that human eyes cannot see and perceive. The things that exist in the realms of God and in the realms, deep realms of the spirit. Remember the prophet Micaiah, who was brought to prophesy when the 400 prophets of Ahab, it says the 400 prophets of Ahab were prophesying, Ahab and Jehoshaphat, you can go to battle against the king. You can go to battle against Syria and you will win the battle. So 400 prophets were prophesying loudly that you will have the victory, Ahab. You will have the victory. Go ahead. But they brought a true prophet, a man of God, Micaiah. And he came and told King Ahab that you go to battle and you are going to die and the army is going to scatter. Because I saw in the throne room of God that God said, which of you will go and deceive Ahab? One of the spirit came up and said, I will go and become a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets of Ahab so that he can be deceived to go to battle and he will die there. So Micaiah knew something that were in deeper realms. These prophets knew something that were hovering around the surface realm. So demonic prophets prophesy by instinct. They prophesy by intuition that you don't need the Holy Spirit for those things. I told you my story. I went for a vacation and these people hover around, the sorcerers of the temple, which is near to that place, hover around and they can look at your face. The last so-called sorcerer I met, I got off my car, he came and he said, sir, can I prophesy on you? Can I tell you about something about your life? I said, get away from me. Then I know these people. He said, sir, you look good. You are attractive. Girls are attracted to you, but you live a clean life. You are a disciplined man, this and that. How can he say all those things? They say all those things by intuition, instinct, and what the, this is no, I know myself. You don't have to tell me who I am. There is nothing new under the sun that you are telling about me. And that was not a Christian prophet. He was a sorcerer that serves in the temple of idols. He could say that those things about me. He could say those things about me. And the way they will say it, what they will say, they will provoke the lustful senses in you. That's how he started. You are a handsome man. Girls are attracted to you, but you don't, you are away from them and all those things. They say some things about you that will satisfy your ego. And that's how it's done in churches. The prophet comes, oh, you are a beautiful woman. Men want you, but you want God. And the woman, man of God, prophesy, that is true about me. That is true about me. Yeah, you see those prophecies. You see those people. That is word of knowledge. That is not prophecy. That person is operating in word of knowledge. So what new under the sun you are talking about? You are talking about what even the family members know about the woman. So that is what I'm saying. The second differentiation you will be able to spot out is the demonic gift of the word of knowledge can only reveal what other people also see and know. Yes, nothing deeper. No revelation, not a mystery that will come, that someone will say to you something that will reveal what happened to you, that you did not even know what happened to you, what happened to you. When I was praying for, I remember I was praying for a person. And when I was praying for the person, I saw this oxygen mask and the hospital bed and I saw, you know, ventilator and all those stuff. And then I told the person, I see that you were in such a kind of situation previously, I see. And the person said, yes, I was there in the hospital because of the infection of the virus, put on ventilator. And after the person confessed that I saw the spirit behind, and I told, this is what you have done, and this is the person who met you, and this is what has happened because of which that thing happened to you. So it is something that reveals the root cause of the happening that happened to the person. But the demonic gift of the word of knowledge will not be able to do that. It will only tell you things that other people what see and know. For example, I can show you from the scripture one of the happenings in Acts chapter number 16. Let's go to Acts chapter number 16. Let's go to Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 16 onwards. Acts chapter number 16, verse number 16 onwards. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought forth her master's much profit by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." See, she is operating in word of knowledge. She knows what those people are. They are men of God. They are men and servants of the Most High God. And they are proclaiming us to the way of salvation. They are preaching the gospel. She knows. Now, that word of knowledge is not from the Holy Spirit. Is from the spirit of divination. What she knows, the men of God themselves also know that they are servants of God and they preach the gospel. So she is uttering something through the demonic gift of the word of knowledge that already people know what they are and what they are doing. Okay? But what happened after that? And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, So listen to me. I don't collaborate with people mostly because the spirit of divination wants to collaborate with true servants of God. And how they want to collaborate? They will come with flattering lips. "Oh, I know you, Apostle Raul. You are a great teacher. You do this. This is what God showed me about you." So in a way that they can collaborate with what I am doing, or we can do things together. But Apostle Paul, the gift of the word of knowledge that he operated in was not from the spirit of divination. The gift of the word of knowledge, of the word, the spirit of God that gave him the knowing ability, the source was God himself. So when this woman was speaking these things, he did not got lured into her speakings. He did not got lured into, "Oh, she's appreciating us. Maybe I will disciple her and make her one among us that she will preach the gospel with us." No, he did not do that because by the spirit, by the gift of the word of knowledge, he came to know through which spirit is she speaking. Through which spirit? And it says, that's why it says, "But Paul, greatly annoyed, turn," and so he did not like what she was doing. If you see physically, what she was doing was good. If we see from a physical perspective, okay, this girl is promoting us, so let her do that. Maybe we will include her in our company also because she is promoting us. She is going around the city every day saying, "We are servants of God and we are bringing the way of salvation." So, why not use her marketing abilities and what she is doing? Yeah, but Apostle Paul did not do that. He was annoyed through her speakings because he knew what spirit through which she was speaking. And then, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." So he located that spirit. He knew that spirit. And after some days, when he was annoyed, with her. He said, so that is the difference between the demonic gift of the word of knowledge and God's gift of the word of knowledge. Do we see that there in the scripture? The demonic gift of the word of knowledge will give you certain surface realities that other people know, but God's gift of the word of knowledge exposes the spirit behind the utterances, behind the doings, behind the happenings. It gives you a deeper knowing of things that are going to happen. Are we understanding? Okay, that is the gift of the word of knowledge. Let us go to the next gift. What is the next gift? The next gift is the gift of faith. Everyone say the gift of faith. Yes. The gift of faith. The gift of faith. Now, the gift of faith is the intersecting gift which leads to many other gifts. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and I want to show you something. The gift of faith is required for you to operate in the other gifts that are mentioned there. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 8. We are done with verse number 8. Verse number 9. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healings. It's plural. Gifts of healings. When I come to healings, the gifts of healings, I will talk about that. To another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another working of miracle. To another prophecy. Okay, let's stop there. So the gift of faith is the leading gift into the gifts of healings and into the gift of miracles and into the gift of prophecy. For you to operate in the next three gifts after faith, you need to have the gift of faith to operate in the gifts of what? Healings, the gift of miracle, and the gift of prophecy. You need to have the gift of faith. That is the leading gift, the gift of faith. And the gift of faith enables you to do something else also, apart from operating in this gift. So I will talk about that now when I explain to you. So, what is the gift of faith? Write it down. The foundation to operate in the gift of faith is based on your reception from God. Coming again to that, the foundation to operate in the gift of faith is based on your reception from God, and to hold fast the same and prophesy or declare against what you physically see and witness. Let me come again. The foundation to operate in the gift of faith is based on your reception from God, and to hold fast the same, what you receive from God, hold fast to it and prophesy or declare against what you physically see and witness. That is the gift of faith. The gift of faith is to defeat physical realities that you can witness, feel, and see from your eyes. Do we understand that? That is the gift of faith. What did Jesus say? It says, if you have faith, you can command the mountain to move out and to fall into the sea, and it will obey you. The mountain signify a physical reality that you are not able to overcome. But when you have faith, you can challenge the physical reality to be moved out from your place. And a mountain will obey you. So the mountain can be moved out by faith. So the gift of faith, the foundation of the gift of faith, the first step to the gift of faith is not saying something directly. The foundation to the gift of faith is first receiving from God. Stay with me. I am going to teach you how to operate in the gift of faith. Once you learn how to operate in the gift of faith, you can operate in the gift of healings. You can operate in the gift of miracles. And you can operate also in the gift of prophecy. When you learn to know how to operate in the gift of faith. All right. So what I'm saying, the first step to operate in the gift of faith is to receive from God, is to know from God. And then when you know that thing, that word from God, You use your reception. You use that word that you received, the thing that you received, to prophesy and declare and hold on to it. But what you received will be completely contrary to what you are seeing. Are we understanding that? What you receive from God will be, I am telling you, it will completely be contrary to what you are seeing. To what you are seeing. If you are seeing a famine and you are seeing a drought and, you know, no food, drought, famine, dryness, and you sit with God, you say, Lord, I want to seek you. You know what God will, what word will come to you? The word that will come to you is rain, is revival, is abundance. But you will say, God, you are saying these things, but what I see is completely contrary. But that is the gift of faith. You first receive from God, and God says to you abundance. God says to you rain. God says to you revival. And then you use what you receive from God and declare it. That is the gift of faith, contrary to what you are seeing. And when you declare it, you change the physical realities that you are facing. You change the happenings. Can you shout hallelujah if you are there? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Gift of faith.
Praise you, Jesus.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Gift of faith. People don't understand the gift of faith. It's okay. Let me come again now, since I have explained you in a bit detail. The foundation to operate in the gift of faith is based on your reception from God, and to hold fast the same and declare, prophesy against what you physically see and witness. This is the detailed definition I could prepare to explain you the gift of faith. Okay, now for you to make you understand how the gift of faith operates, I want to simplify it to the simplest way and take you to 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18. Let's see that. And 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 41 to 44. 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 41 to 44. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Okay, stop there. Now what is happening here? The background to it is the prophets of Baal and Ashtoreth were killed after Elijah, the fire was sent by God on Elijah's altar. You know what happened. You know the story. And after that happened, Elijah told Ahab, go home, eat and drink, because I hear the sound. He received something from God. What is the thing he received? He received a sound. And what was the sound? The sound was of abundant rain. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. He received something from God. Now, what he received from God was completely contrary to what Israel was into. Israel was into a more than 3 years long drought with no rain. And it was also completely contrary to the skies and the clouds which will give him rain. Because the skies were clear and there was no sign of rain. Okay, are we understanding the definition of the gift of faith? You received something from God. And now you are declaring it, you are prophesying it. You have received something from God. Now you are declaring it and you are prophesying it. Now, this is the problem. This is the problem with the word of faith movement, where people are encouraged to say positive things without fulfilling the first step of receiving something from God. No, say that you will receive it. No, say that you will have the breakthrough. Say, in the first place, whatever you are saying, have you received from God as a conviction, first of all? If you haven't received it from the realms of God, your saying and your positive speaking is in vain. Do we understand that? That is how the flesh operates. That is how inspirational speakers operate. That is how demonic gift of faith operates, by saying, by chantings. What did Jesus say? Jesus said that, do not make vain repetitions like the heathen do, because they think that they will be heard because of their many words. So you, by saying the same thing again and again, will do no good to you, because in the first place, you haven't sat with God and received from him. Are we understanding the difference there? Elijah received from, he did not prophesy, I want rain, so I will prophesy about rain. No. He first said, and there is something that he received on the basis of which, on the strength on of which he is saying those things. So when I say something and people will challenge it, oh, you are saying, I say, this has not come from me. This has come from another source. So I know that source will fulfill it. I am not afraid to prophesy it. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not afraid to speak about it. That is what makes a true prophet very bold, because they don't speak on their own. They speak on God's behalf. They speak what God speaks to them, and they know what he speaks to them is true and shall come to pass.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So many prophets in the Western countries nowadays, since election has come, even in the last election, I saw every day prophesying this person will come. Whatever they said, never came to pass. Because they thought it necessary that if I want to be a prophet, I want to show people that I prophesy daily. It's not needed. You only prophesy when God says to you. You are not under the pressure that you have to prophesy and you have to be alive in the competition of prophecy. That is what is happening. So many prophecies. And people call me, Apostle Raul, did you see that? I say, I see no or hear no prophecies. When God speaks to me, I will do. Or when God leads to me to hear something, I will do. I'm not into the business of daily prophecies and what is going to happen in politics and this and that. I'm in the business of building a kingdom that is not of the world. That is not of the world. So I'm not too much. I'm not too much into, you will not see me speak about this is happening there, this is happening in politics. I don't speak about those things because I am not too much into those things. I am interested in building God's kingdom, God's people through the word of God. Yes, I know I'm building another kingdom. That is not of the world. He heard the sound of abundance of rain. Okay? He heard the sound of what happened after that. Verse number 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. So he started to pray on the mountain, and he said, go and see. Are things happening as per what God said? He said, nothing is happening as per what God said. On the contrary, there are no clouds in the sky. The sky is clear and dry. But it says, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. He said, go again. Came back with the bad news. But he held on. He held on to what he received from God. Yeah, that was my definition to you. To operate in the gift of faith is based on your reception. And to hold fast to what you receive, hold fast to the same, and prophesy, declare, and pray until it happens. It shall happen if God has said, in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to have the faith to hold on. That is how the gift of faith will operate. Do we understand that? So seven, he is going again and he's coming back. He's saying, no, there is no sky. But he says, I received it from God. Go again and check. I received it. It shall happen. That is faith. That is the gift of faith. Okay? The gift of faith is not blabbering some things, positive things. No. Commanding things to happen. First, I want to teach you the gift of faith. The first step to operate in it is to receive from God. Is to receive from God. And when you have received from God, you know that I will. God, if you have said it, I am not the one who will make it happen. You are the one who will make it happen. God is the one who will make it happen. So I pray. I do my part. I believe in what you say. God wants someone, a human agent, to pray, to prophesy, to pray with the tool of prayer and prophecy, that those things can be executed, which God wants to do in Israel, which God wants to do in the US, which God wants to do in India, in Pakistan, in Canada, in several nations of the earth, by the gift of faith. Okay. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. Okay, so there was eventually the cloud came, a small cloud, hallelujah, a small cloud. The start will be small, but eventually what God has said will be fulfilled and there will be rain. So that is the gift of faith. That is the scripture I want to bring to your notice to explain and to bring to light the definition of operating in the gift of faith. The foundation to operate in the gift of faith is based on your reception from God and to hold fast the same and prophesy, pray, declare against what you physically see and witness. Hallelujah. Let me stop here. Now, the gift of faith. The next thing I want to talk about the gift of faith is the functions of the gift of faith. Why is the gift of faith given? But let me stop here. If I go into that, there is a lot of content into it. And then we will see also the gift of the difference between the demonic gift and God's gift. So we will continue the next time. But tonight I want to end on the note is don't believe what you physically see and witness. Hallelujah. Desire for the spiritual gifts, beloved. I don't know, even as I'm preaching and teaching, how the Holy Spirit is working in all the lives of people who are hearing this sermon to desire for spiritual gifts, to desire for the gift of the word of wisdom, to desire for the gift of the word of knowledge, the word, and to desire for the gift of faith. Until now, I have already taken these three gifts, and I believe the Holy Spirit wants you to have those gifts, not because you are someone special, but because His kingdom is special, and His people have to be ministered with gifts. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will generate a hunger and thirst for you, in you, for the spiritual gifts, to desire for spiritual gifts in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Lord, when you ascended on high, Lord Jesus, you gave gifts to me. Lord, it's a privilege. I can say I have experienced these gifts. And oh Lord, it's wonderful to operate, Lord, to know, Lord, and to operate practically, Lord, and to see your people being blessed and your kingdom being expanded and your purposes being fulfilled when we operate in the gifts. When I started the sermon on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts on the gifts of God, I told you that God expands His kingdom and fights against the devil by gifting men. God has gifted you. When Apostle Paul writes about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he says that he has gifted each one. When he starts about that, he has gifted each one. So there is no one left without gifting. Another thing that I want to cover, that people start to say, oh, brother, I don't come in the prayer meeting because I'm not gifted in prayer. Well, prayer is not a gift. Prayer is a command. So many people start to give excuses. I'm not gifted to pray. You know, brother? No. Prayer is not a gift. Prayer is the primary responsibility of a believer. I don't read my Bible much because I'm not gifted to teach. You don't have to be gifted to teach to read your Bible. It's the command of God. No. I don't give in God's kingdom because I'm not gifted to give. These things are not gifts. There are something called as commands, some things are gifts, some things are ministries, some things are activities. So I will cover it in the next sermons. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I pray, Lord, it is by the teaching of the word of God that you sanctify the body of Christ. It says, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Father, I pray that, Lord, you will thoroughly cleanse us, Lord. Oh, Lord, through the teaching of the word of God. Hallelujah. Through the understanding of the word of God, through the words of wisdom. Oh Lord, hallelujah, that you will speak, Lord, to your children, to your people, Lord, on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that they will realize, Lord, the gifts, the ministries, the activity, everything, Lord, hallelujah. And moreover, Lord, all the more, Lord, that your people will be, because there is a lot, this time and season in which we are living, Lord. Lord, there is a lot of counterfeit people, Lord, who are operating in gifts which are similar to the gifts that you give, that your people will be now able to differentiate, Lord, and discern between your gift, oh Lord, that you give, and the gift that demonic spirits give. Oh, to the satanic agents, Lord, that they will be able to differentiate, Lord, and discern, Lord, and expose, Lord, even after hearing these teachings, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I pray that you will bless your people, Lord. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone who are here, Lord, oh, Father, in the background, I know people are going through things, Lord, going through crisis, suffering, problem, but I know it is only your word that can give them direction. And Lord, let this word that they listen to, let the words that you speak to them in their personal time give them direction, deliver them, Lord, hallelujah, of whatever they are facing, Lord. And even as I know, in the presence of God, when we are in the meeting, Holy Spirit, I know you are working in the lives of people who are hearing. You are healing them spiritually, you are healing backsliding, you are healing them physically, delivering them, transforming them, even as they hear thy word, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to give you all the praise, honor, and glory for this time. Hallelujah. Bless your people, Lord. Let them have a blessed week, Lord. Let them seek for spiritual gifts, desire for spiritual gifts, Lord, as newborn babes, Lord, desire for milk. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I cover all your people, all your children, with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, and we all shout amen. Let's shout hallelujah unto the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Have a